Today we shall discuss eagerness in seeing Krishna. Here you have Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Srimati Subhadra. How eager are we to have them in our life, so to speak? How eager are we to connect to their lordships? They are here for us. How eager are we for them? Eagerness is a fact in life. You all know how to be eager for something. You cannot say you've never been eager in your whole life. You have been eager for things. Now we have to analyze what is it that's best to be eager for. Just like, for example, I was informed that, Maharaj, you should not expect many devotees to be around after 7 o'clock tonight, because it's the Formula One racing. That's over, it's a very important event for the men, the devotees. So there's eagerness. We have to see it. I was trying to understand what is the particular rasa, the flavor that one enjoys watching Formula One racing on television. Then I was told that, oh, it's better to see it on TV than to be there. Because when you're there, it's just a blur going past you. On TV, you get a more wholesome experience. I still do not understand the particular flavor. Yet, I can understand there was great eagerness built up. So then as I came into the temple here and saw Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Lady Subhadra, I thought of the eagerness of Lord Chaitanya to see Lord Jagannath. That is the real eagerness of life. Sometimes, when Lord Chaitanya would walk to the Jagannath temple, actually he would go every day to see Lord Jagannath. And then on his way back from the temple, he would stop by to see Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, and the like, before returning to his place. So, one particular time, as described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, in a mood of feeling complete separation from Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna taking the emotions, the feelings of Srimati Radharani, particularly Srimati Radharani as seen in Vrindavan by Uddhava when he went to Vrindavan to deliver a message from Krishna. That Srimati Radharani speaking of Brahmara Gita, the song of the bumblebee, that, in particular, that those feelings, that mood of Srimati Radharani, that is when Lord Chaitanya is the heart of Lord Chaitanya. There are the feelings of Srimati Radharani and the separation from Krishna. And in the heart of Lord Chaitanya is the desire that the whole universe be flooded with love of Krishna. Naturally, when you want to connect with someone, you want to learn their heart. Those of you who have families, friends, you're always concerned, do I know your heart? So what is the heart of Lord Chaitanya? We have described it. Separation from Krishna as experienced by Srimati Radharani, and the desire to flood the whole universe with love of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya approached the Jagannath temple and completely blinded by feelings of separation from Krishna and the anticipation of seeing Krishna, the eagerness, he asked the guard at the door, "Where is Krishna Vrajendranandana, the son of Maharaj Nanda? Where is he? Where is he? I want to see him." And the guard said, "Come with me. I will show you Vrajendranandana, the son of Maharaj Nanda." He took Lord Chaitanya by the hand and said, "There he is. There is Krishna." Lord Chaitanya would see the Jagannath deity as Krishna, Shyam Sundar. Lord Chaitanya is gazing at Lord Jagannath, seeing Shyam Sundar. And then what happens? One lady, wanting to see Lord Jagannath, climbed up the column of Garuda Stamba, the column upon which the deity of Garuda is placed. Because Lord Chaitanya would always position himself behind that Garuda Stamba, and he would just look at Lord Jagannath from that distance and cry tears. And those tears would form like a running stream at his feet. So while Lord Chaitanya is gazing upon Lord Jagannath, seeing Lord Krishna Shyam Sundar, Sakshat Vrajendranandana, directly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, this lady climbed up the Garuda Stamba, the column upon which Garuda is placed, and then put her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. At that point, horrified, Lord Chaitanya's servant made the woman come down and chastise her. And what did Lord Chaitanya do? He turned to his servant and chastised him. "Oh, uncivilized man, how dare you chastise this woman? If only I had her eagerness to see Lord Jagannath." This is Lord Chaitanya teaching us what is devotion. The woman had not intended to make the offense. Although it was an offense, she had not done it intentionally. She was so eager to see Lord Jagannath that she climbed up the Garuda Stamba. That's one offense. Second offense, she put her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. This is all done out of eagerness. So Lord Chaitanya simply took it. "Look at how keen she is. Look at how eager she is to see Lord Jagannath. If only I had that intensity of eagerness." Nevertheless, of course, the woman merely paid her obeisances and begged for forgiveness. But Lord Chaitanya is simply noticing the intensity of her desire. So the question for us is, how intense is our desire? Do we simply want to be on the level of an external, ritualistic devotee? Or do we actually want to enter deep into eagerness to serve Krishna, which will produce eagerness to see Krishna? In material life, you may be eager to serve someone, but that doesn't mean you're eager to see that person. You may be eager to serve someone because you get money in return. Yes, yes, I am so good. Just like when you're going for a job interview, right? You present yourself as being so eager to serve the company, the corporation. But that eagerness is all based on the fact that you want salary. I always explain about Dwayne. He is traveling with me from New Zealand. So, he has a job that whenever anyone hears about it, young man that is, they become very envious. He works in IT, and his job is simply to test video games all day long. He just plays video games all day long, looking for some faults, some glitch. Very precious job, yes. Everyone agrees with me, yes. The problem is that he wants to work less hours so he has more time for devotional service. But whenever he goes to his employer and says, can I work a 30-hour week instead of a 40-hour week or something like that, they say, don't you understand how many young men are standing in line to have your job? 300 applicants in a day, 5 minutes to have your job. You have attained the supreme destination. You have entered the highest realm. You have a job of simply testing video games all day. Oh, what could be better? And you want to cut back on your hours? Either you accept the full work week, or we get rid of you. There'll be no problem filling your shoes. So many young men eager to have such a job. There is such a thing as eagerness in this world. Lord Chaitanya demonstrates eagerness to see Krishna. And that eagerness to see Krishna is based on eagerness to serve Krishna. Because service to Krishna is properly done without any expectation of material reward. When that service to Krishna is free of ulterior motives, it immediately produces eagerness to see Krishna, hear about Krishna, and talk about Krishna. So don't take your service, any service that you get lightly, is providing you an opportunity to be eager for all your senses to connect to Krishna. Seeing, hearing, tasting. The more you become eager for devotional service, the better the prasad tastes. How's that for a motivating thing? It is a fact. You cannot materially increase your eagerness for tasting, for seeing, for hearing anything in relation to Krishna. But spiritually, you can do it. Simply by being eager to serve Krishna, you become more eager to see Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to taste Krishna. All the devotional activities feed each other. So eagerness to hear Krishna means to be eager to serve Krishna. Eagerness to talk about Krishna will lead to eagerness to taste Krishna. This is the wholesomeness of bhakti, and that is why all your senses can only be satisfied through bhakti yoga. What is the job of illusory energy? To present to you that your senses have other opportunities for satisfaction and fulfillment than serving Krishna. That mirage, that hallucination is the gift of Maya. So whenever you have hopes for your senses to be satisfied outside of devotional service, you should know that such hopes are an extraordinary delusion. The greatest delusion known. We have senses, we have a mind. They're often pushing us for fulfillment, for gratification. We should know that our mind and senses will never be satisfied away from Krishna's service. That's why a devotee is always eager for service. Otherwise, what are you going to do with your senses? It's like now. in some parts of South Africa, where there are rugby fans, they're all rejoicing. As if their senses have become fulfilled. So, the Springboks, what does it have to really do for your life? Unless you're a gambler, and you gamble on it. It doesn't increase your salary that they want. It doesn't make your home happier. What does it really do to you? But because you're identified, I know not anyone here, but because people identify, this is our team, this is us. But you all are probably not rugby fans. All Formula One fans. Formula One and one ticket. Anyway, some people are rejoicing. I was told this morning the streets were full of celebrants, whatever. What does it do for them? But they're hoping, oh, makes my senses feel better. And then, in New Zealand, they are all diverse, whole culture. Their rugby team is their heart and soul. They never have a good cricket team. They don't have a Formula One. The All Blacks, they are the everything. They were supposed to win the World Cup, and they were outed by France. Whole countries, massive depression. Really, seriously? You don't understand? Really, massive depression. In Australia, not depressed because they have a top cricket team. But New Zealand, all they have is the All Blacks. So people are just completely disorientated. We think, from the preaching point of view, it's best in New Zealand that the All Blacks lost, because that makes the people lose hope in material fulfillment. So we are glad that they lost. And now here in South Africa, for those who are rugby fans, I know mainly some Europeans who are rugby fans in South Africa. So, they're feeling, our country, yes, glorious. As if they were out on the field playing. How great is this? In this way, they feel inspired momentarily about material life. But we take it as a great benediction when people feel uninspired by material life. So, in New Zealand, they are feeling very disturbed. If South Africa comes to play in New Zealand, they get creamed every time. Australians come to New Zealand, they get creamed. British, French, everyone comes down there loses. But then whenever the Kiwis, whenever New Zealanders go to the World Cup, it's the reason they can't get together in recent years. So, people are distressed about this in New Zealand, and that makes it better for preaching. We can declare to all the people there, just see, there's no hope in material life, your team lost. They will accept. I remember hearing Srila Prabhupada speak at a Sunday feast in 1973 in New York, April of 73. And he explained very powerfully that if you're optimistic about material life, you are an animal. He would say that over and over again. Only an animal is optimistic about material life. If you are a human being, you must be pessimistic. Doesn't sound like popular psychology, does it? You must be pessimistic about material life. But in Krishna consciousness, everything is optimistic. Always. Remember what happened when a caste brahmana cursed Lord Chaitanya. The caste brahmana was angry He couldn't get into one of Lord Chaitanya's special kirtans at night. Because for those kirtans, only Lord Chaitanya's intimate and pure devotees were allowed entrance. It was different from Harinam Sankirtan out in the general public. These are the nighttime kirtans at the house of Srivas. Srivas Angam is the name of Srivas Thakur's house. So this Brahmana, he wanted to see, but he wasn't allowed in. So the next day, when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he came up to him, took out his Brahmin's bread, because that's how Brahmanas curse, break their Brahmin's bread, and then utter a curse. It's very powerful. I curse you that you will never enjoy material happiness. Lord Chaitanya said, "Hare Mara!" He was dancing next to me. This is Krishna consciousness, as demonstrated by the topmost teacher of Bhakti. Now, what would you do if that happened to you? Someone came up to you and cursed you, and you had reason to believe their curses were for real. You'll never enjoy material happiness. You might collapse on the ground crying, right? Oh, no. But Bhakti is so powerful. Service to Krishna is so powerful, as demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya. Let it be, the devotee says like that. I'll never enjoy material happiness. Oh, how fortunate this is. This is wonderful. That same Lord Chaitanya demonstrates eagerness to see Lord Chaitanya. You know how before the Ratriyatra festival, when Lord Jagannath has been away for 14 or so days. And then on the first morning, before Lord Jagannath mounts the Ravkar, he's being offered food. There he is on the altar, freshly painted. And Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they haven't seen Lord Jagannath for so long, it seems. They're so eager to see him before he gets on the rock cart. He's been out of sight for a couple of weeks. So Lord Chaitanya and his associates break all the etiquette. They enter the deity room while the deity room is being offered bhoga. Just like you don't see when the deities are being offered bhoga. A screen there to cover their plates, or even the curtain is closed. The Lord Chaitanya and his associates were so eager, they would just walk right in to the deity room. They just wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. This is the Radhanuga platform, spontaneous love of Krishna. It's not to be imitated. Their eagerness is for real. Their eagerness is something that cannot be understood by a material person. So the question for us is, how can we develop some eagerness in Krishna consciousness? We do that by seizing service opportunities. Service opportunities include the opportunity to glorify Krishna. A devotee with life, a devotee with enthusiasm, knows how to seize opportunities for glorifying Krishna. Just think about that. When you seize something, yes, bring it to you. That's very dynamic. So you have to do that with devotional service and opportunities for glorifying Krishna. You grab them. Suppose someone announces, let's say you're walking in this shopping street in Durban near some stores, and someone runs out, excuse me, the first 10 persons who run through the store door, they'll get a brand new Mercedes. What would be your reaction? Men, ladies would forget all about etiquette and just race through the door, right? So we know how to be eager. Lord Caitanya demonstrates how to be eager for Krishna, how to seize opportunities to speak about Krishna, hear about Krishna, serve Krishna. That is what makes your heart fulfilled. This is why Rupa Goswami says, Utsahanishchetaya. First, enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, you get nowhere. First, enthusiasm, then patience, determination. But first, enthusiasm. There has to be some feeling of intensity. Yes, let's do it. Just like when you see little children playing, those of you who have little children. They're eager to play. They race outside, they see another child. Oh, let's play, let's play. As adults, we want to be like that for Krishna. Let's engage in Krishna's service. When that happens in a congregation, you have a very healthy congregation. There is a proper use of protest demonstrations in spiritual life. You know how in material life, people are always making economic, political protests, carrying signs, and things like that. In spiritual life, you can do that. You can protest. This temple is not giving us enough opportunity for service. Yes. You can present a whole list of protests to the management. I'll do any service. Give me some service, but we just don't have enough service. What's wrong with you? You can do that. Yes, the managers will love it, won't they? Yes. Think about it. This is the only significant protest, a devotee protest. I don't have enough service. Give me any kind of service, but I want it. When you have a congregation with that kind of demand, then life becomes ecstatic. What's your problem?
I just don't have enough service. 10 times I've asked the president, I've asked the manager for more service. What's going on? They're not giving it to me. I'll do anything. It's not that I'm selective. Any service to Krishna I'm so eager for.
That, when that happens, you have a very vibrant, alive temple. Is it possible?
Everyone has to come to life for something. Just like some people are coming to life for Rugby World Cup, others are waiting to come to life for the Football World Cup. Others are going to come to life tonight for Formula One Championship. The ladies, they come to life for their things. What about Krishna service? Let us come to life
in devotional service.
To come to life in devotional service means use what you have for Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna will give you more.
Just like your children, if you give them a little money and they use it properly, you feel inspired to give them more, yes? Who likes to give their children money and the children just have to waste it? First, you want to see that they're using properly what you've already given them. So Krishna has given us energy. He's given us talents. He's given us resources. Let us show Krishna that we're effectively using them in his service. And Krishna will get more. Act in such a way that Krishna will have confidence in you. Just like you want to have confidence in your children, that they know how to spend money properly, they know the value of money. So we have to demonstrate to Krishna. We know the value of devotional service. What does Rupa Goswami explain in Nectar Devotion? He explains that One of the super excellences of bhakti is that Krishna doesn't give it out very easily. Sudurlabha. Very difficult to attain. Because by devotional service, Krishna can be conquered. So he doesn't very easily give it out. Devotional service attracts even Krishna. But that same Krishna as Lord Chaitanya distributes devotional service profusely. You see, when you speak about the flood of love of God, you're meaning the flood of devotional service. Don't make a big mistake and think that the flood, the ocean of love of God is one thing and devotional service is another. As soon as you say devotional service, you're talking about the love of Krishna. When devotional service is mature. So the flood of love of God means the flood of devotional service. So when that ocean of devotional service is approaching you, don't run the other way. Like when a tsunami is coming, people try to outrun it. It's impossible. No, when we see the tsunami of devotional service coming, we're going to run towards it. In this way, your eagerness to see Krishna and hear about Krishna will increase. And you'll feel healthy, spiritually wholesome, and all your senses will be fulfilled. Never think that the material energy can satisfy your senses. Any perception that that might be so is a complete illusion. So you need discipline and training to deal with this illusion because it's so powerful. Doesn't Maya make things look so easy for satisfaction? Immediate satisfaction. All you do is do this with your senses, you'll be alright. Yeah? What's the difference? No philosophy is needed. Just do it. But it's never like that. Therefore, we need practice, training, to understand that what Maya offers is not what Maya gives you. You can practice, you can train to deal with the false propositions of Maya. You can deal with that in a positive way. In that, the more you engage in Krishna's service, the more you are free from being harassed by the mental energy. Because your senses are fully engaged. We are not the society of believers in Krishna. We are the society of engagers in Krishna's service. It's a big difference. I hope that you all can make a plan how to increase your active, dynamic devotional service to Krishna. This way or that way, some way. There definitely is a way available for each one of you to increase your service. Somehow. And then you will see this temple become even more vibrant. And you will become more vibrant. And your senses will finally find their peace in Krishna's service. So please remember the example of Lord Chaitanya when he would go to Jagannath Mandir to see Lord Jagannath. And remember how he chastised his servant. You uncivilized man, why are you criticizing this lady? If only I had her eagerness to see Lord Jagannath, I would be so fortunate. Hare Krishna, eager. How much eagerness did you have? Are there any limits? There's no limit. Limitation has to do only with time and space. On the spiritual platform, time and space do not curtail him. Your service transcends the limitations of time and space. As part and parcel of Krishna, we are limited. But in our ability to engage in Krishna's service, there is no limit. Krishna is unlimited, and he gives you a chance to taste unlimited life, even though you are limited. You taste that unlimited life through devotional service. So there's no limit to eagerness for Krishna. For example, in the spiritual world, how is it that sense gratification goes on? All the gratifications for Krishna. The activity of providing gratification for Krishna is newer and newer at every moment. Whereas sense gratification in the material world quickly loses its flavor. In the spiritual world, however, the sense gratification constantly just increases in newness, freshness, and intensity. We can't conceive of that because it doesn't happen in the material world. So there's no limit to how much you can serve Krishna. And one Srila Prabhupada explained, there's no limit to how much Maya can kick you. You might be thinking, oh, I had some real bad luck the past 3 years. I guess I've had my quota for this lifetime. I've been kicked by Maya severely the past 3 years. I guess that's enough for this life. No, there's no limit to how much Maya can kick you. Please explain, one should not pay obeisances to a spiritual master in front of the deities. Only one's own spiritual master, thank you. Please come more often to South Africa. I see that invitation to make me more eager to answer this question. In some temples in ISKCON, they don't pay obeisances to their spiritual master in front of the deities. In some, they do. Whatever you are, whatever the standards that you follow, that's fine. You see, in some parts of the world, especially when there are many spiritual masters present, they're all walking in the room at different times, and the whole temple room is going up and down, up and down, during the class of the kirtan, you know. So some of us have some practical consideration. Whereas during Srila Prabhupada's presence, he was everyone's spiritual master. Therefore, he'd walk in the room and everyone would pay obeisances and finish. Hare Krishna Maharaj, the month of Kartik is considered to be a very auspicious period. How can we intensify our devotion during this period? During Kartik, you increase your glorification of Krishna. You see, any austerities that you do during the month of Kartik are simply meant to give you more time to glorify Krishna. So if you forget about the increasing glorifying Krishna, you miss the point of Kartik. The austerities that you may follow in terms of eating, whatever, they're meant to decrease the time you spend in your body so you have more time for glorifying Krishna. That is the main point of it. Purja Vrata, the Kartik Vrata, to increase the glorification of Krishna. I hope that you all will make plans how to increase your service to Krishna. Take advantage of the great opportunity you have. Become very militant about wanting a chance to serve Krishna somehow. Become very eager to engage whatever you have in Krishna's service. And then you'll see how your senses are actually satisfied in connection to Krishna. Thank you very much.